So today, talking about generosity. So we, in my family, you know, we have, my son is 12, and then the two girls are, you know, not. They're 8 and 10. 8, 10, 12 is where we're at right now. And all our girls, my wife included, have birthdays in a really tight window this time of year. And it's so awesome to, especially with our kids, it's so awesome to bless them with gifts. I mean, that's part of birthdays, part of Christmas, and their joy is contagious, it's real. I mean, you know, when a kid's sitting there getting ready to open a gift. But what's really fascinating too is when you watch the other two kids, we let every kid give each other a gift. And so Andrea always takes them out shopping, and I stay home with whichever one it's, you know, it's his birthday or her birthday. And it's just amazing because they get to, Andrea lets them pick whatever they want. Well, there's a budget, a really small budget, but she lets them pick whatever gift they want to give to the, you know, each other. And they just get so excited about it. When I take them out, the only time I take them is when it's Andrea's birthday. And it's a little less, I'm like, look guys, Mom wants this Tupperware thing that like marinates meat really well. Who wants to give that to her? And it's like, okay. And I had a picture on my phone, like this is a week and a half ago. She really likes this shirt. Who wants to give this to her? And Laurel's like, I will. I'm like, great job. So maybe it's a little less fun with Dad. But it's so incredible to watch them, like to watch them watch the person who, you know, that they're given a gift to unwrap it and just get, it's so much fun. It's like blessing. Giving is honestly a riot. They love that opportunity, right? And so it just blesses my heart. It's just so much fun to see. You know, when it comes to giving, when it comes to blessing others, we are assigned by God to bless others. It's an assignment he's given us. First and foremost, it started with an assignment. I don't remember if it was 2-3 weeks ago, but we looked at Genesis, chapter 11, 12 kind of area, and we saw when God called Abram, he said, I'm going to bless you, Abram. This is Abram out of the land of Ur of the Chaldeans. He said, I'm going to pull you out of there, leave everything you got, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you such a great blessing, but you're going to bless others. And this was the assignment Abram was given. It was like, but God just said, I'm going to make you so rich, buddy. But I'm going to make you rich to make others rich. Which goes way beyond finances. Like, I'm going to pour into you and you're going to pour into others. He was assigned. And Abram, you know, going to Jacob. Jacob is Israel. And New Covenant and all, we're grafted into this family, right? And we have this same assignment that everything started with. Which was, it's an assignment to bless others through what God has blessed us with. We're never meant to bunker in and say, this is my land, this is what I got right here, and I'm gonna protect it at all costs, and I'm gonna like just shut the door and lock it and not bless anybody with what he's given us. We are assigned by God to bless others, but this is what's really awesome. We're also created by God, like we're wired by God to find joy in blessing others. So it's not this assignment that's like, oh, I gotta do this again, okay. No, he's wired us to have joy. If you think about those times when you are the most, just say spiritual, I mean, when you're the closest to Jesus, you know, maybe it's a season, maybe it's a worship set, whatever it is, but you're just in that spot where you just love Jesus and nothing else matters. You're a really generous person, right? I mean, seriously, if somebody came with a need, your heart is so, like, just rendered towards them. I mean, you have so much to give this person because you're in a really healthy place with the Lord. But if you think about those times when you're just angry, you're just closed off, you don't need God right now, you wouldn't really say that out loud, but, you know, you're just frustrated and you're really dwelling on yourself, you're not going to be a very generous person, right? It just works that way, and it just tells us that when we're connected with God, when we are close to him, we're wired for this. This is, whenever we're close with God, the thoughts we feel, our heart that beats, like those things are more in the line with, with him because we're spending time with him in his presence, right? And so there's this line that I've heard, give until it hurts, right? Just give until it hurts. I don't even know what that means. But what if we instead said, what if we give until we enjoy it? Give until it's fun. Give until it feels good. Like, God loves a cheerful giver. What if we flipped it? Instead of give until it hurts, why are we making this such a burden, a negative thing? It's like we could give until it feels good. And we'll get to what I mean by give, but it's everything. It's an attitude. It's a heart. Like, give our heart. Give the things we want to hold on to the most until it feels real good to give. Because that's where the Lord is. He's a generous God. He's assigned us to bless others. But better than that, he's wired us to bless others. We're in this series. Today is actually the very end of it. We're going through our vision at St. Paul and what this looks like. And to sum up, we're saying, look, we exist for the Great Commission. It's never changed. Since Jesus spoke it, since the boys recorded it in Scripture, I mean, this thing has never changed, and it's not going to change until Jesus returns. We're to go and make disciples. We're to baptize them, and we're to teach them to obey. That's the calling, right? And so we said, well, what about St. Paul? And we looked at our kind of historic DNA a little bit, who we are, and this church is what it is today because of encountering Jesus. We've encountered God. Many of us have had these encounters with God that have really shaped our lives and changed our focus. And, you know, one encounter with God can absolutely flip a life 180 in a really good way. And so we want to encounter God. And we said, okay, we're going to do this. And we kind of had this triangle called the 3 points are up, in, and out. And these are just three relationship realms. Up is it's my relationship with God. It's not the things I do for him, but it's my relationship with him. And some of the things I do dictate the relationship. You know, we're here on Sunday. I want to spend time in the Word, time in prayer, time in worship during the week. I want to have a healthy relationship with him. In is my relationship with others within the church. I want to know you. We want to be connected to each other. In November, mid-November, we're going to start small groups because we really want to have a fellowship aspect, right? And then out is it's how I take what I have that God's given me to bless others. I want them to encounter God, people who don't know Jesus. And so I'm going to live transparently for them that they might know Jesus. People I already know, people I might just meet, and I want them to encounter God. And then we said, okay, that's our discipleship plan. That's what we're doing. It's simple. And then these are the five values. We will not cross over. We will not, if we ever cross over one of these, it's like we're going to say, all right, stop. Got to reset. Move the ball back to the middle of the field. Whistle blows. We can run another play. And we've looked at these. This is the fifth one today, but we've looked at engagement, which is we get engaged in the church that others might encounter God. We serve, we invest, right? We expectant was the second one. That means we pray big prayers and we expect God to answer. This church has a long history of praying really big prayers and knowing that God is in this. The third one is truth. We're gonna stand on the truth of God's word. The fourth one is honor, which is the how, right? We can stand for truth, but if we don't have honor, we become pretty abrasive and pretty unchristlike. And so we're going to have honor. We're going to treat each other and give each other the benefit of the doubt and others. Today we're going to look at generosity. And again, these are, I think I've said this every week, these are not corrective values. These are values that this church is, which is really encouraging. So if you would open your Bibles, we're going to go to Exodus 35 today. We're going to look at this guy Moses journeying through the desert. And so when Moses and the Israelites, they had just gotten out of Egypt, you know, the plagues happened, God's hand was just so powerful. They encountered God at the Red Sea, like right away. And it was one of those moments that they could never forget. And they wander through the desert, and the desert's a lonely place. Hot during the day, freezing cold at night, not a lot of water, right? It's rough. They get to Sinai. Moses goes up the mountain. He's gone for 40 days, 40 nights. He didn't take any food rations with him. This isn't good. So they build a calf, right? Moses comes back. He's alive. Breaks the Ten Commandments. Has to go back up. And this is kind of where we're going to take the scene, where he comes back down. And now he's got round two of the Ten Commandments. And this is what's amazing. So at the end of chapter 34 in Exodus, you see this description of Moses. And it says that as he was coming down the mountain, his face just radiated the glory of God. God had passed before him. He met with God at Mount Sinai. He had an encounter with God. He had a really amazing encounter with God. And it's, you know, we've said this, when you have an encounter with God, he changes us. Every single time, he changes us for good. And we're always talking about what's on the inside. Moses, it was so significant that we used this word last week too, it manifested, meaning it got displayed as something physical. And for him, he wasn't sunburned, he was father burned. I mean, he was just radiating red, like just brightness, that the Israelites were so freaked out by this. Like, they knew he'd met with God. They knew this was something really holy, really amazing, but they made him wear a veil whenever he was around them because it was just too much. God, and then Moses would lift the veil when he went and talked with God. It's absolutely awesome. And so we're going to start here kind of in chapter 35 and starting at verse 4. And Moses is going to start talking to the people. And he's like, look, we're going to build a tabernacle. And they're like, a what? A tabernacle. And says this in verse 4. Moses said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, this is the thing that the Lord has commanded. He says, take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a generous heart, let him bring the Lord's contribution. Gold, silver, bronze, blue and purple, scarlet yarns, fine, twined linen, goat's hair, tandra, I mean, onyx stones for the ephod and for the breastplate. It just goes through this list. Whatever anyone has, he who has a generous heart, let him bring it for the Lord. Verse 10, he says, let every skilled craftsman among you come and make all that the Lord has commanded. The tabernacle, its tents and its covering, its hooks, its frames, its bar, its pillars, its base, the ark and all that stuff, the mercy seat. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on all the way through 19. And then, so Moses said, let them bring all their stuff. Anyone who has a generous heart, let those who are actually gifted at making this stuff, let them come and use this stuff and make the stuff, right? And then in verse 20 it says, then all the congregation of the people of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. So when Moses finished talking and saying, this is what the Lord says, anyone who's generous should do this. And so they left, and then it says, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him, and everyone whose spirit moved him, and they brought the Lord's contribution to be used for the tent of meeting, and for all its service, and for the holy garments. So they came, both men and women, all who were of a willing heart. And look what they brought. They brought brooches and earrings and signet rings and armlets and all sorts of gold objects. Blue, all their yarns, their skin. Like, you got to understand, when people are bringing brooches and what necklaces and, I mean, all these types of things, if you think about the people, they were on the run, right? They were migrants. They were running, fleeing from slavery. And if you think about all they had for possessions was what they could carry. And they're carrying jewelry because jewelry had the most value for the least amount of weight and space. And so if you're an Israelite, you know, say you're a 15-year-old Israelite girl and great-grandma Ethel gave you a brooch, you know, something that's been passed down from generation to generation, and her great-grandfather made it. I mean, like all of a sudden, like this, they don't have garages with storehouses. They don't have attics to store their extra supplies. Like this is what they have. And God just had Moses say, hey, anyone with a generous heart, bring what you have. And they're parting with the only personal items they have. And the less you have, the more significant those are to you, like with the emotions, right? I mean, this is, oh, my grandma. And so they're giving. This is what's amazing about this. And it just says, you know, and everyone who could make a contribution of silver or bronze, they brought as the Lord's contribution. And this, it just goes through the whole list here. It's absolutely amazing, right? And verse 30, it said that Moses said to the people of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Ur, the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit's come on this guy with skill, with intelligence, with knowledge, and with all craftsmanship to devise artistic designs, to work in all these, in these golds and bronze and silvers. And it's like the Spirit of God was on this and came upon somebody. It wasn't the money Bezalel was given. It was actually he was being anointed and then to give his time and his skill to the Lord in this way. If you go to the next chapter, just a couple verses here, it says that Bezalel and Aholiab and every craftsman in whom the Lord has put skill and intelligence, they shall work in accordance with all that the Lord's commanded. And Moses called the two, and they called all of them, and everyone whose heart stirred him up to come to do the work. And they received from Moses all the contribution the people of Israel had brought for the doing the work of the sanctuary. They still kept bringing in freewill offerings every morning, so that all the craftsmen who were doing every sort of task on the sanctuary came, each from the task that he was doing, and they said to Moses, the people bring much more than enough for us for doing the work that the Lord has commanded us to do. So Moses had to give the command, and the word was proclaimed through the camp, stop. Let no man or woman do anything more for the contribution for the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient to do all the work and more. It's remarkable to see what generosity can do. They ended up with far too much. And so a couple points on this I want to highlight. In this part of Exodus, an encounter with God was within reach. Moses had just had it, right? And so God didn't have to command the people to give. He didn't. He didn't command anyone. He said, let those with a generous heart come, right? And so they gave out of one man's encounter with him, and they wanted more. Moses had this encounter. Remember, he's all, I just call it father burned. I mean, he's radiating the glory of God. He'd had an encounter with God. The people of Israel are so moved by him, by the encounter he had, and they know God is within reach. They know that their moments come, and they've just been at the Red Sea. I mean, yeah, they've had these things, but this was bigger. They had just really fallen into sin with the golden calf. I mean, there's some bad stuff going on, and yet God showed up in this really radical way, and these people are so moved by it. And all God said was, hey, let anyone with a generous heart give, and the people gave too much. Wouldn't that be crazy that there's too much gold at the feet of the workers, that it's in the way, and that they can't do all the work they're supposed to do? That's remarkable. From a bunch of slaves, you know, just a few days ago. Hey, this is remarkable. There's this place, anyone been to St. Louis here? There's this place called Ted Drew's. You know what I'm talking about? You ever been there? It's ice cream. It's the best. It's frozen custard. So I don't know if that counts, but it's amazing. I can eat so much ice cream. When Andrea moved to St. Louis, we met when I was in seminary, and so she came to St. Louis, and then we got married, and you know, but I would take her to Ted Drew's to try and impress her, and it's the best ice cream ever, and I would get her, you know, she's always like, just a small, or a mini. I mean, a mini, seriously. But she, you know, she'd ask for like a small or a mini or something. I'd get her a big one. I'm like, I'm trying to be generous. I'm trying to show her, no, this stuff is so good. You want, I'd get a big one for myself. I'd feel good about myself if she could get a big one too, right? And I'd always end up, I think it was more about me finishing what she couldn't eat that was actually the reason behind it. But look, I wanted to be generous. I wanted to show her, no, you got to get a lot of this. It's really good. Yeah, she's lactose intolerant too, which again, that's, I know. But so I get, you know, 1.5 larges like when we go there. It's amazing. But it's like, she's not telling me to do it. I just want to do it. And I've since realized she actually means what she says when she says she doesn't want a large ice cream. It's weird. It's so weird, isn't it? But it's like, we don't have to be told what to do in order to want to bless somebody. When our heart's right, when we love this person we're serving, when we want to give and we want to bless, it just becomes natural. Jesus told the story of this woman. This is in Luke. Remember this woman, this elderly woman came and it was during the offering time, and she put in these two small copper coins. And here's all these other guys, like, and they're heaving their big money bags in the, I don't know what they passed the play, they came forward, whatever they did, you know. And it's kind of a display, a showy thing. And Jesus just says to his guys, he's like, I'm telling you, that woman gave so much more. They gave the leftovers. Like, those guys gave the leftovers, but she literally just gave everything she has. That's her last bit. And he's describing generosity. He's not describing dollar signs or shekels or denarii. I mean, he's describing a heart of generosity. She gave so much more because she gave everything she had. Like, he highlights this woman, and it's incredible. Like, see, when you encounter God, you want more. You want more of him. You want to give away what he's given. So generosity. What is generosity? What does it mean to give? Generosity encompasses way more than finances. It encompasses your time, your finances, your attitudes, your prayers. It's so much more. Generosity isn't a task. It's not a duty. It's not a checklist. Generosity it's a value. It's something that it's how we're wired. If we're close with God, we want to be generous. So I'm telling you, for a number of people, it's far easier for them to just write a check than to go serve or go help somebody. You know, and it's like, I don't want to give the time to do that, but here, I'll give you $100, or I'll give you, you know, whatever it is. I'll give you this, and you go do it. And there's times for that. That's not necessarily disobedient. But if that's our default and that's all we ever do, that becomes problematic, doesn't it? If all of a sudden we're only going to give out of this, or if others, it's like, I'm only going to give time. I'm not going to give you any finance, or I'm not going to give you, you know, if somebody comes and they have a real need, it's like, well, how can I meet that person's need? Well, generosity says everything I have is a gift from God. So how am I going to meet this person and help this person and be like Christ to this person? That's what generosity asks. And it's so much more than just, I feel like generosity, so oftentimes it's the connotation as we associate it with the dollar sign, and it's just how much we give money-wise. But generosity starts with time with your kids. They really want to read you a book. Time to sit with a friend who's really going through a rough time, or a good friend who goes to the hospital and doesn't have any family around here. Generosity is calling him and spending time with him. Like, it's being generous. It's realizing that if I'm going to be generous, I'm going to spend something. It's going to cost me something. And it might be dollars, it might be time, it might be an attitude. It might be prayer. I want to be so generous with my prayers. I got a lot to pray for myself. I have a lot, and my family. But what happens when we take prayer time and we you know, we dedicate a portion to those like in our immediate circle, but what happens when we extend that and we're generous with our prayer? We pray like 360 degrees all around us, and we're praying for the neighbor who's such a jerk, never wants to talk to you, and like just obviously doesn't know Jesus. I mean, you know, it's like, what happens when we're generous with those prayers and we start praying for that person? And that's generosity. It encompasses so much more than just money. So much more. Jesus set us free so that we might live out of an abundance. Jesus set us free so that we might live out of an abundance. An abundance mentality means I have more than I know what to do with. It's Bezalel and Aholiab, is that their names? The skilled workers who were like, Moses, you got to tell them to stop. I got too much. It's like, it's working out of that abundance and saying, I have so much to give. You know, in the kingdom of God, everything you give away is, like, you don't lose it. See, if I gave, okay, here's the reality. If I gave my son $20, oh gosh, if I gave my son $10, okay, you don't need 20. If I gave him $10, I'm out $10, right? Like, it's gone, it's his. And actually, he's a saver, so it sits with him for a long time. But I don't have it anymore. But if I give him anything of the kingdom, absolutely anything of the kingdom, if I give prayer, if I give scripture verse, if I give a word of knowledge, if I give a word of encouragement, if I give something, anything of the kingdom of heaven, if I give to him, I'm not out at all. Like, it didn't cost me anything to give, except maybe some time or some thought or some heart capacity, and I actually grow in that every time I give that away. Like, this is the glory of living in a place of abundance, is I have unlimited resources from the Lord. I know what my weaknesses are, but his strengths fill my weaknesses. So anything I want to give away, if it's my attitude, if it's my heart, if it's a prayer, I have this abundance. With finances, we have a budget. We have to think through things, and yet we want to give. We want to be generous with the way we treat others, with the way we honor what the Lord has like blessed us with, and we want to be generous in that stuff, trusting that the Lord's over all of this. I don't want to live like an orphan mentality where I'm holding on and bunkering in. And God called Abram to bless the nations. He's called each of us. We're grafted into this nation, right? We are Israel today in a spiritual sense. It's like we're called to bless. So my the question I want to end this with, and all five values I've done this, is how do I live out this value, the value of generosity? How do I live out this value of St. Paul Westport? And the first one is this: get excited about every move of God. Like, every single move of God, the smallest little prayer that gets answered, right? If you pray for somebody's headache and his head starts feeling better, get excited. That's a move of God. If a little kid, I see Dr. Sherwell, our preschool director here, and like, whenever a little kid just like glorifies Jesus and says the most amazing thing, it's easy when we're around kids all the time to go, that's so cute. But there's an awe and just this wonder of like, this kid like saw Jesus, you know? And I love hearing about this, and it's just amazing. Like, we need to celebrate these moments. Every time there's a move of God, we have to be excited, no matter if we think it's just a little thing. The big testimonies are incredible, and I love them, but the little ones matter too, a lot. I think we undervalue them. And see, every time we value a move of God, every time we highlight and get excited about a move of God, our attitude becomes more generous. because we celebrate what he is doing on this earth, and we want more and more to partner with him in it. So how do I live generosity? Is it starts with what's inside, and I want to be really excited about everything God is doing. Absolutely everything God is doing. Whenever you have a conversation with somebody and you're able to let them see Christ in you, get excited about that. Like, that's generosity coming out. It's incredible. The second, how do I live this value of St. Paul Westport? Tithe. Absolutely tithe. If you want to live this value out, what I love about this passage in Exodus is God never says you have to do this. He never says it's a law, it's mandated. He doesn't say that. God doesn't seem to work like that. Throughout the rest of Scripture, he issues the tithe, and he says the tithe, the 10%. Let the first cow out of 10, the first fruits. And I mean, this is a principle that it's old covenant, it's new covenant, and what it is, it's just generosity, and it's saying everything I have. Instead of giving my leftovers to the Lord, I want to give the first fruits. I want to give my very best to the Lord. And it can be finances. I want to tithe my finances. What about if I want to tithe my time to the Lord? What if I want to, you know, that takes under 2.5 hours a day to spend in his presence. I just thought of this, so I won't. I know this young lady who went to Harvard, got her MBA, and tithed her time during this. Her name is Sun Young Kim. It's the most amazing. I'll look that up sometime and I'll share it with you, but it is the most amazing testimony. She gave this time that she never had and just fell in love with Jesus. It's really awesome. Sorry, it's one of those stories I just brought up and I can't tell you what it is, but it's really awesome. And the last one is ask Jesus to shape your heart. I mean, just that's what we want to do. Ask him, what do you want me to be giving in this situation? So, I mean, that's true regarding your church. Like, Lord, what should I be giving to my church? And there's the tithe aspect, there's the financial aspect, but there's so much more than that. I have a real gift at teaching children. I have a real gift at seeing the big picture and knowing how details can fit into the big picture. I have a real gift at mowing lawn. We pay for a lawn service here. And I realize that's a common thing here, but gosh, it'd be nice if somebody else just wanted to mow and we didn't have to pay for it. Somebody has a gift of mowing. I know. It's not a spiritual gift of mowing, but come on. You know, I mean, there's so many things. It's like, ask the Lord, what can I give? I love it, and I'm sorry, Karen, I didn't ask your permission, but I know that Karen recently is like, I could so help with the Altar Guild. I could totally do that. And she's like trained up to do this now. I love that. It's just saying, I want to be generous. I want to have a heart that helps, and I want to give. So Lord, what can I give in this situation? If you go out for brunch this morning and you meet somebody there, the waitress just seems really struggling inside, putting on the smile, but you know, ask what's going on, and then ask the Lord, what can I do for this person? It's that question. See, the value, this is a value, this is not the checklist of generosity. I'm talking about just the value that we want to live with is to be a church that lives outside of ourselves, that lives beyond ourselves to bless others. This is what generosity is. This is totally what the Lord's assigning us as a church to be. And I love this value. So I got to pray and just say, Jesus, today would you grab our hearts more and more, Lord, because we've all been in that spot where we're so close to you and we just want to give. We just want to give of our hearts, give of our times, give of our resources. And then we've been in those times where we're just, I don't know, we're tightly wound and anyone else is just an annoyance. And Lord, we know when we're with you that our hearts are so, so softer and so much more pure and so more giving, Lord. And that's who you are, because we act like you when we're with you. We think like you when we're with you. God, we want to shape ourselves to have the discipline of generosity, the joy of generosity. Help us to grow in this. We pray this all now in Jesus' name. Amen.